The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's like the Lord just nailed this truth in me. I'm like, wait a second. I looked at David and Andrew. I go, hey, when God called you to be his child, did anyone have to beg you to get in the Word and to seek him? Did anyone have to beg you to serve the church? Did anyone have to beg you to get the sin out of your life? Because for me, I didn't need any begging. Like something happened inside of me where I couldn't be stopped. And they're just like nodding their head. And they're going, yes, I remember. Yeah, no one had to beg. I go, exactly. Then why are we begging? Why does our job feel so hard? Well, our job should not be this difficult if the Holy Spirit of God is in the people. Something should be coming from inside. We don't have to beg them. Go, please, we'll keep it short. We'll have childcare. We'll make sure that, you know, the songs are upbeat. We'll make sure the message is quick. We'll make sure we'll get you out of here in 45 minutes. Please, 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 please. Okay, we'll have donuts. We'll have coffee. Please just show up. Come on. Do a Bible reading. We'll make it short. We'll do the, just like half a verse every week, you know. Please just get alone and try. Why are we begging? Shouldn't they be from the inside begging us? This is a scary, scary thought because I'm going, is the Spirit in them? If their spirit isn't crying out, Abba, Father.
Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. That, of course, is Pastor Francis Chan on this Monday afternoon. I pray you and yours are well. I played that clip intentionally, where Francis talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I have sat in this chair for more than 8 years talking to many of you about your faith, where you're at. We've watched 15 months of a pandemic being pushed upon us, by which many of us responded maybe initially in acquiescence and in fear, and then a bit more time into it, we started to question some things. And I became more outspoken on this program. In fact, let me take a step back and then share my announcement. I took over this program in 2013 in the spring when our dear brother Frank Pastore went home to the Lord. Unforeseen circumstances, November 19th, he was hit on his motorcycle on the 210 freeway going home, was in a coma for more than 20 days and passed on December 17, 2012, went home to the Lord. That began a search for a seven-month period by which I was announced as the next host in the spring of 2013. I was new in Christ. Many reminded me of that, like somehow this is a test chronologically. Like the more years you bank, the better or the more of a Christian you are. I'm not so sure that's the case. But I began this radio program with a lot of hopes and expectations, with a lot of intentions. And early on, things were going incredibly in my experience. And then the spring, summer of 2016, we had a presidential election where some guy came out of nowhere and beat 17 or 18 other GOP members. His name was Donald Trump. He ended up becoming president. And I very intentionally before that really didn't talk much about politics, mostly because I'm not that versed in that area. In fact, there was a time in a day way before recent times where I was very politically active. I was a political activist. I was a radical environmentalist. I once called Ronald Reagan the worst president in the history of the country on my radio program that I used to do across town, my spiritual but not religious radio program. And then in December of 2009, I had a radical encounter with the risen Savior. My life has never been the same since. So when I began this program, I had a lot of hopes and a lot of aspirations. And in the summer of 2016, I guess that's in my experience when the battle really began. Battle internally, spiritually, battle externally, you the listeners. And it has progressed and advanced since then, especially in the last year with COVID and my outspoken views on at least question the government. Don't blindly go, well, the government says vaccines are safe, you need to do it. A man that's called our president, I saw over the weekend, got in front of a camera and said, the only people right now that are getting sick and dying are the unvaccinated. And I'm like, what is he talking about? Shall we look to Israel, one of the most vaccinated countries on the planet? Should we look to London, England, and what's going on there with all the outbreaks? They're all vaccinated. So I have tried to share truth. I've tried to challenge you to get deep in the Word and to seek the Lord above all. And so the truth of the matter is, the time has come where I'm going to step away. My last program will be this Friday, July the 23rd. And I've got 5 shows this week where I'm going to just, at least my hope is, I'm going to download a lot of information by which it's my way of saying, these are the important moments. These are the important people. These are the pastors you need to really listen to from my perspective. And then come Friday at 5 o'clock, that's it. I will no longer be on the airwaves. It's kind of made rounds in the trades. There are people that are actively applying for this job. Salem, which they're supposed to do, put out an ad a few weeks ago. And I've had some people ask me, so what's the deal? Why are you leaving? Is there a successor already named? I'll address the latter first. No successor's been named. I have someone in mind that I hope and pray is the next person to take over these airwaves, but I have no need to share his name. And as a matter of fact, I've got no say in the matter. But why am I leaving? It's time. It's time. It's been time for a while, and it's not some fleshly frustration. Like, in truth, I don't really care if you agree with me or not, as long as I'm right with the Lord. It's been challenging. I've gotten more hate mail over the last year than I've ever had in my life of 35 years. That's okay, too. But it's time. And what's the new season hold? I don't know. There are some things that may transpire. I'm not sure. I will tell you this. Many of you know I have a ministry. And my hope and prayer is that sometime in the next few weeks, I will begin working at KMG full-time. We need your love, support, prayers, donations. Because I believe if ever there's an area in this life that impacts culture negatively, detrimentally, in a devastating way, it's the lack of men stepping up and being men. And I've always thought, as much as this is a love of my life doing this program, that I only have so much energy in the course of a day. So a couple weeks ago, I went into my boss and said, thank you. It's time for me to move on. Really appreciate everything you've done for me. And he is gracious enough to let me sign off at the end of this week, which is very rare in radio. You may know you'll hear somebody on the air and they're gone next day. Or if you work at the shop, I love the emails. So-and-so has moved on. We wish him well or her well. Yeah. In a sense, I get to write my own epitaph, if you will. And I just want to pour information into you and preachings and I'll share some monologues as well. So that's it. This Friday is my last day. If you have any thoughts, our phones are open. 888-528-2557. Oh, yeah, one last thought. It was suggested to me, why don't we do kind of a, a best of week where we can have some of my friends and the best guests and just kind of do that all week. I couldn't nix that quick enough. This has never been about me. Program may be called the Frank Sontag Show. It's never been about me. If you remember anything from this program, this is all about pointing you to the only answer in this life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. And yes, I've talked about cultural issues because that's the format of the program. Talk about issues in the news from a Christian perspective. But the program has never been about me. So maybe some last-minute surprises I may not know about. This week is all going to be about you and me. And the last thing I'll say, please get on my mailing list. Once I sign off Friday, you'll probably never hear from me again. Or if you support my ministry, or if something else happens, we'll surely give you an update. But that's it. That's the state of things. Your thoughts are welcome. If you want to send me an email, I know for some of you this may be a shock. For some of you, maybe you've seen this coming. But again, above all, I want to make sure you understand this is not about me leaving. This is about Jesus being in complete control, and we need to submit to him, like Francis was talking about. Why are we begging people? Like somehow if the Holy Spirit's in you, do you have to be begged? Do you have to be begged to be kind to someone else? Or get right and battle sin? You know, Satan's a liar. I was, for many years of my life, I just kind of minimized like the world does. So I believe in God, but Satan, oh, those are just the crazy Christians. Yeah, right. You think people are innately good? Look at the world we live in. And if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are blind. The Bible says you're a fool. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just telling you that's a biblical truth. And I was a fool for most of my life. Not anymore. I'm saved by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. 888-528-2557. Let me play an audio clip, and then we'll come back, take some calls, move forward here. Wilbert's doing double time in the other studio, which we'll just thank him for. I want you to listen to this guy. If you've listened to my program at all, you'll know who he is. He's not a pastor. He's not a theologian that the world looks to like somehow he has a hotline to God. But I think he, at the very least, is a very wise man.
And for all the people that are praying for a great awakening for American revival, let me remind you of a verse that's going to happen in the midst of this awakening. That according to the Apostle Paul, evil men in the last days shall wax worse and worse, being deceived and deceiving others. In other words, you can't pray naively for a wholesale transformation of American culture by a sweeping move of God, because you're entering into not prophetic thinking, but magical thinking. And magical thinking is the devil's playground. We want prophetic thinking. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. That means you're going to have characters who are deceived and are deceiving others. And they're all over media and politics. They're hollowed out souls. They've sold themselves to the devil. And some of them actually have a cauterized conscience, which means they have reprobate minds. They cannot see with moral clarity. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans also. They can't, they're blinded. Now, there are those that are blinded by the devil, that the veil can be torn, and there are those that are simply deceived and deceiving others. And I believe there are many of those that have actually crossed the line. I think the fear of the Lord is you could go too far. And I think many of them, many people on the earth right now have actually gone too far. And so the fear of the Lord would have us know that there's going to be entrenched opposition that's going to lie about you anyway. Remember, it was the purest church in the world in Rome when Nero sent them into the arena. So it's not like, you should blame anybody for giving us a bad reputation. I hate it when I hear Christians go down that road, because the devil's going to give you a bad reputation by simply lying about you. So there's nothing you could do. Jesus had a bad reputation, by the way. Did you know that? Jesus had a terrible reputation. But it was a terrible reputation with half the mob that wanted him crucified, because they were listening to the fake news of the Pharisees. But what I want you to catch is this. The good news is that in America, you can still say these things. The good news is I'm talking to you right now. It's not over yet. The good news is if we have a courageous, apostolic, evangelistic generation that knows, like Mario Murillo, my buddy, that knows how to swing towards hitting the harvest and preaching the gospel and doesn't get caught up in the psychodrama of politics, but, boom, can swing around and see with 2020 clarity what's happening in the psychodrama of psychological operations and manipulation in media. That's a powerful 1-2 punch, because it sees clearly and speaks clearly to what's going on in the world right now, and then swings around to the harvest. I'm telling you, most of the church is divided into two groups. There are culture warriors obsessed with what's going on in the battle. And then there's the pure spirit people who are just out there, don't want to get involved in politics and, think that. And by the way, they're both legitimate positions. I don't have the authority to comment on the legitimacy of anybody's calling. But I'm saying the division is there. There are those people that see the battle in the culture and they see it 100%. And there are those that don't see it, but they're 100% over there in total dedication to Jesus and thinking that that's the solution. We really are going to see some great awakening happen when the two are fused together.
Man's name is Lance Wallnau. We'll hear more from him this week. One other pastor I want to share, and then we will come back, maybe take some calls. Not sure where the program's going to go today or the rest of the week, but I can tell you right now, rest assured, it's going to be all about Jesus. I played this man's audio a few weeks ago, and I got people calling, well, who is he? Is he really a pastor? Does he know the Bible? He talks about God, but I'm not here to say we shouldn't be discerning, but we're so quick to jump on what isn't theologically the box we want to put people in. Jesus did a lot of things. He sat down with people at tables and he turned tables over. Why are we so bent on putting him in a little box? This man is Kenan Bridges. His church is in Florida.
Who do you support? Who do you support? Who do you support? I support Jesus. I support God's word. I support truth. I'm a truth supporter. I believe in the truth. I believe in truth. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. I've had challenges. I'm not out here presenting myself to be a perfect person. What I'm telling you is that I support truth. And you should too. You should too. I sleep at night knowing that I support the truth and that I'm doing what I feel in my heart, what I know in my spirit to be true. I'm telling you, the enemy is so angry right now. He is so upset because he is the God of this world. And the scripture actually says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Listen to this, against rulers of the darkness. One of the words for darkness there literally means, if you do a Greek study on that word, it means ignorance, blindness. The devil loves ignorance. He wants to keep you ignorant. He doesn't want you to investigate truth. He doesn't want you to think for yourself. He doesn't want you to seek God. He doesn't want you to be a truth seeker. He wants you to stay in ignorance. He wants you to stay in bias. He wants you to stay in fear. He wants you to stay in anxiety. He wants you to stay in frustration. He wants you to stay in racism. He wants you to stay in classism, genderism, whatever ism you can think of. He wants you there because as long as you're there, you can't hear the truth. I want to be the kind of person that when God says, Kenan, go this way, I'm saying, yes, sir. I don't want to say, well, No, 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 but that's not what... My culture doesn't do that, Lord. Or my race doesn't do that. Or my education says different. When God speaks, every other voice is silenced. Every other voice is silenced. And all I'm asking people to do, I'm not telling you what to do, how to think, where to go, who to believe, who to vote for. That's not my responsibility in this hour. What I'm telling you is very simple. Seek God. Seek God. Just seek him for yourself. Find out what's going on in our society right now. Find out what's actually happening right now. Some of you are totally oblivious to the war that's going on. All you do is watch CNN and C-SPAN or whatever your favorite channel is, but you're not actually seeking truth. You're being told what to think. You're being brainwashed, like I was brainwashed for the last I don't know how many years. Open up your eyes, pray, fast. Say, God, what are you saying? Investigate it. Now, if God tells you something different, to God be the glory. But all I'm trying to tell you is that I want to be the kind of person who responds to the truth.
Amen. Pastor Keenan Bridges. 888-528-2557. If you are just tuning in, I have announced this is my last week. Friday at 5 o'clock will be my sign-off. We have 4-plus programs to lean into the Lord and share a lot of very important information and preaching, and also your calls are welcomed. 888-528-2557, and we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next.
As a black minister, would you please explain why you haven't explained to your told your congregation of the evils of Planned Parenthood? Everybody's talking about being woke. Woke! Woke! And you didn't know that Margaret Sanger? You didn't know that Margaret Sanger said this? We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. Now, this was written in 1939. So how are you going to be woke? How are you going to be a woke church and don't know this? This is old. This is old. It's, you bishops and pastors and leaders out there, if you haven't told your congregation about the number one killer of African Americans, an organization that kills more African Americans every 2 weeks than the Klan did in its entire history, you are not qualified to use the word woke. For you are the epitome of being asleep. You're asleep at the wheel.
Man's name is Patrick Lane Wooden. He's a bishop. I'm not playing him to be controversial. I'm just playing him because he speaks the truth. We are so asleep. There are people that are literally risking their lives and speaking out. This young woman, many of you found last summer, she had the audacity to go to New York, buy some black paint cans, and paint over all the Black Lives Matter murals. This is Bevelyn Beatty.
Liars! 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 In the name of Jesus! Jesus matters! Black lives don't matter until Jesus matters. Jesus matters! Jesus matters! Jesus matters! Stand up! Take your country back!
Amen.
Take your country back!
Amen.
We're dying left and right! They're gonna kill us! Take your country back! Take your country back! Take your country back. Take the USA back. Take it back. Take your country back. Trump 2020. We don't care. die and kill ourselves. That's what they want. That's what they want. That's what they want. That's what they want.
Let's go.
They don't care about black people. They don't care about black people. They don't care. They say Black Lives Matter. Yet they're going to defund the police, the same people protecting us. They don't care about black people. They don't care about us. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about us.
This needs to stop. This needs to stop.
Jesus.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Her name is Bevelyn Beatty. She was arrested, released shortly thereafter. Y'all remember last summer? We have short memories. Y'all remember what happened last summer across the country? Statues being pulled down, cities being burned. And the media saying, it's all peaceful. Now we have an incursion into the Capitol on January the 6th. And we hear how this is the greatest invasion in the history of our country since the Civil War. My goodness. I'm going to play a man here in a moment. He's 99 years old. He survived Pearl Harbor. So what happened on January 6th is worse than Pearl Harbor. Many of you remember September 11, 2001, 9/11. What happened on January 6th was worse than 9/11. We could go on and on and on. This man began calling my program in San Diego a few years ago. He identified himself as Stu or Stewart. We've had a number of conversations on the air. This was the first one. Stewart, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you okay?
Yep. Is Frank there?
I'm right here. You're on the air with me. This is Frank.
Oh, I'm on the air with you right now.
You sure
are. First of all, I want to admire you for your stand. Not too many people in the radio business have got the guts that you've got. But I just wanted to say, where I found my peace was in 2 Timothy 1:7.
Oh, yeah.
God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I'm 98 years old, and I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. And also, if you would open the Bible and read Psalm 2, you'll see a beautiful picture of today.
Stuart, I am trying to keep it together here, brother. Thank you for blessing us. So he called the program, and I lost it. It's just something about Stuart. Man really knows and loves the Lord. Here's something you may or may not know. That was his first call. Said he was 98. He's now 99. And about four or five calls later, one day I was just kind of prompted to ask him if he's ever served our country. This is the part where I try to keep it together. Never called the program talking about himself or came from this me perspective. Always about the Lord. Always quoting scripture. I don't know who he is. He's just Stuart. Stu calls the program. I asked him one day, so, Stuart, did you serve in the military by chance? He proceeds to tell me, December 7th, 1941, he's a survivor of Pearl Harbor. Talked about being on the deck watching what was about to transpire. The man loves the Lord. The man loves our country. I asked him, Stu, you're 99 now, so tell me more about yourself. He says, I live alone. I drive. Lord gives me strength every day. And I'm like, That's what a man of God sounds like. We didn't get into necessarily political conversations. Talked about Jesus. His name is Stuart Headley. I Googled him. The guy's famous. I had no idea. You can find his testimony on YouTube. And in my new season, I hope and pray I can go down to San Diego and meet him and maybe do some kind of an event around him and honor him as the man of God that he is. But that's one of the many blessings of doing a radio program. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's listening. By the way, if you're just tuning in, I announced that this is my last week. A lot of information I want to share with you as the week goes on. I want to honor certain people. I want to honor those that have supported me. And it's a new season. God's calling me to a new season. And I'm very excited. I'm kind of scared, but I'm very excited. Because God is so great. And like we played last hour, or last segment, Kenan Bridges saying, when God calls you, we need to be people that say, yes, sir, when you know it's God. Regardless of whether you think it is something you can control or not, because the truth of the matter is we can't control any of this. Let me tell you one short story. We'll come back and take some calls. A lot of us, understandably so, I'm not this Christian that has blind faith where I just trust in God for everything and I have no responsibilities, no level of decision-making in my life. I just leave it all up to God. Not the case. So finances, always an issue. Make wise decisions. Make, you know, be good stewards of the money that God provides you. And many, 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 many years ago, I used to see a couple where I used to live in Santa Monica. They were both in their late 80s, and I would see them every Sunday walking and holding hands. I was not a Christian at the time. And one day I went up to them and introduced myself, and I asked them, you know, who they were, and they shared their names and actually began coming to some of my lectures. But here's the point of the story. They had been together for, I don't know, 60-some years, and they had shared how good their life was with me. It was very powerful. And as I got to know them more, their story was in the in one of our crashes in the country. Remember when the banks crashed and people lost a lot of money in 401ks? They lost all of their life savings, everything they had saved their entire life for. And yet they still were joyous. They were still like, we've got God, we've got each other, we trust in him, what's to come? And I'm like, but you've lost everything. And they're like, we never owned any of that anyway. This was before I was a Christian. I think it was one of those God moments that I look back on and I'm like, I think God was talking to me at that time. But isn't that the way we're called to live as followers of Christ? We have no control in this world. We have this oxymoron called financial security. I'm not saying it's not something to strive for, but when all is said and done, sometimes unforeseen circumstances happen and you only have so much control. So I praise God for Stuart Headley. Stu, if you're listening, I love you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for being such a man of God. 888-528-2557. And we're going to take some calls next. We've got a full board. We'll get to that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to take some calls. We have a full board. If you've sent me an email, I haven't gotten to them yet. I've got a few emails that I'll read after the program. Let me start with Anna is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Anna, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Really appreciate you taking my call. So I stumbled across your show several years ago. KKLA in Southern California. And in more recent years, though, I've had to resort to listening to your podcast. And I have to tell you, in the world that we live in, the insanity, the gaslighting that goes on, I can't even begin to express to you how much of a sanity check your show has been for me. I couldn't even tell you how long I've been listening to your show. I know it's several years. But I heard on your podcast last week that you were going to be making an announcement today, and I made it a point to set a timer because I wanted to hear it live. I didn't want to wait until tomorrow because I knew it was big. And I'll tell you, Frank, I have called one other radio show in my entire life, and that was about me. But when I heard your announcement, I knew I had to call and just tell you what a tremendous blessing you have been to me, as I'm sure you are to everyone else that is listening. I have seen and heard from you in more recent years. You take that stand in that position as a man of God. And I know that that does seem to be a rare thing, as the gentleman, and I can't think of what his name is, that you just mentioned, the 99-year-old. You take the position, you're a Christian man, and you own that, and you're authentic, and you are heeding the calling. And so I know that God is calling you elsewhere, and I know that that's going to be a blessing to you and to many others, and certainly to the Lord. You have made this decision to glorify him, and I applaud that decision. There's going to be a void, and I'm trying to not make it about me because this is all about the Lord, as you continue to say. But it has been a great honor and a great pleasure to hear you pray on the radio, on live TV, live radio. That's not something that you hear very often. And again, just what a tremendous, tremendous man of God you are. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the blessing that you have been to me.
Anna, you're very kind. Thank you. I hope you continue to be on my mailing list and you pray for our ministry. You can just go to franksontag.com if you're not on my mailing list. Thank you for your very, very kind comments today, and we will see what the Lord has. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Anna. Kathleen is in Carlsbad. By the way, I love Carlsbad. Kathleen, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, hello, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you that I want to thank you, brother, for being a bold Christian and speaking truth. And I personally will miss hearing from you on the radio. And I just want to say, in your last week, go out with a bang, brother, and keep speaking the truth and following our Savior. And I just want to leave you with Philippians 4:13. You know, I learned this is my life verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I heard a while ago that the things actually is I can do all seasons through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And the past seasons that I personally have been through, and maybe other Christians or other people in general have been through, have not been easy. But, brother, I'll be praying for you, and I know it's time for you to move on with the next step. We plan, but God gives us our next step, and I just I want to tell you that I really appreciate a brother, a man, being a man and not being ashamed of it. That's all I have to say.
Kathleen, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. And again, as I will share with many, just make sure you get on our mailing list so that way you'll know what the next season is for me. And I'm grateful for your words today, and I thank you for it. When I was let me tell you a short story. So in August of 2012, some of you may have been listening. You heathens, you used to listen to that morning show I was on. So many people came up to me and said, I used to listen to you on Mark and Brian. And me, I'm so gullible. I'm like, well, you were a Christian and you listened to that show. Obviously, we got kind of blue. But on that August morning in 2012, when we signed off for the last time, I was in a new season of life with the Lord. I had only been a Christian for maybe two plus years. I praise God for our janitor. Story that, if you don't know, it's in my book. When I got radically saved, I went to work the next morning, and the reality just kind of hit me hard. I got to do this this worldly secular show with two guys I really love. But I'm uncomfortable about some of the ways in which topics are pursued, or even the way they spoke to women and a whole lot of other things. You know, it's just the world, blue stuff. And so the very next morning, I used to go into work at 4:30. I'm in the hallway on the floor, kind of just up against it. And our janitor comes by and says, "Are you okay?" And he was a Southern man, gentleman in every stretch of the imagination. And I said, "Lynn, I'm not sure that I can keep doing this job." I said, "Something kind of happened to me. I became a Christian yesterday, and I'm really challenged." And he goes, "Well, can I pray for you?" And I said, "I didn't think of it. Are you Christian?" And he said, "Frank, I'm a pastor." Lynn Meek was the sweetest man. We were so blessed to have him in our hallways and being gentle and loving to people. And I'll tell you this, I look back on it now. Every morning we prayed together. And in the time before we all got let go, we would actually pray in the air studio. It kind of went from the hallways and advanced to being in the studio. And Lynn and I would be in there praying. Lynn would be like laying hands and going for it. And Mark and Brian independently would come in and see that. And I took a little ribbing on the air from Mark. You know, Frank's boring now. He didn't want to have any fun. He's a Christian. Brian was a bit more compassionate about things. I'm not speaking ill about Mark. It's just, you know, two different guys. But I'll never forget the last day. I sat there and I thought, man, what am I going to say? What am I going to say if they come to me? And I thought, okay, if they do, I just want to honor you, Lord. And they came to me. And I still hear from some of you. You listen that final morning. With a lot of emotion in my voice, I said, you know, it's been wonderful how much I love the guys, and I really don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And he is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will tell you, fast forward now, almost 12 years later, it's the same. God is one and the same, never changes. He is the King. He is the Lord of Lords. And one of the things that I want to try to do this week, maybe Thursday or Friday, I want to spend a program reading scripture, praying on the air, and if one of you, this isn't a numbers thing, if one person is compelled to come to Christ, this is what I want to do on one of the last programs. We're going to do an altar call on the program. Not sure how it's going to all pan out, but that's my heart. That's my will, and we'll see what God's got in store. But I do know this is a new season, and toward the latter part of the week, I'll share some, you know, exciting parts of it. I actually last night wasn't feeling well, not sure if I was going to come in. This is pretty surreal to me, but 35 years later doing this radio thing, I've had emails of people saying, "Are you going to do radio again?" I don't know. I really don't. We're going to do KMG for a while. I've got an exciting development in Colorado with Victor Marks. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the week. But for now, it's you and me. We have 9 more hours until Friday at 5. Your calls are welcome, 888-528-2557. You can email me at all the usual places, and my friends and family in San Diego, by which you sign off. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Everybody in the K-Praise listening audience, I love you. Make sure you get on my mailing list at franksontag.com, and it has been a blast, but we're going to share more of that as we continue. This is the Frank Sontag Show.